This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This week in PlayStation, we're talking about my thoughts on PlayStation VR 2, Octopath Traveler, and our predictions for Thursday's State of Play. We'll have all on this and more because this is PSI Love You XOXO. I'm Greg, that's Bless, that's Janet, and you can get this show on patreon.com/kindoffunny. There you can watch us record it live, get it ad-free, and get dozens of monthly episodes of exclusive content. If you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. You can support us in the Epic Game Store, Fortnite, Rocket League, or Fall Guys on your PlayStation with the creator code KINDAFUNNY. You can get PSI Love You XOXO for free with ads and without the post show over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe each and every week. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by HelloFresh, but we'll start with a PSN message from you. Hello, Blessing. Hello, Janet.
Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Janet, what is the update on your sickness? We're all watching on Instagram the sickness that will never end.
The update is I am sick. I got sick around like Tuesday, which like I think I was like lightly sick when we recorded like last week, but it wasn't that deep because it was just like, oh, my lymph nodes kind of swollen.
You thought you could shrug this off. You could play through the pain. I get it.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I did not swirl and twirl around, okay, in VR to let that go wasted. So I pulled up. I wore my sick game shirt to that episode. If you know, you know. And then I actually like ended up getting an actual cold. So it's like the lymph node thing was like a weird prequel. Damn. And I hate that you can be, and I'm not like, you know, ridiculously old. I got a lot of years ahead of me, God willing. But I hate that you can be like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, and still have new body stuff happen. Like, I know, you know, what a cold looks like for me, but especially like in a pseudo COVID happened world too, I feel like that messed with everyone's immune systems too, where I have all these new ailments and things. So, yeah, see the chat, your body's changing. I don't like that. We were pitched when we came into existence that you have like one change. Maybe there's like another change later, like menopause or whatever, and that's it. But you're changing all the time. I still have acne. I don't understand. I don't like it, but I'm here and I'm drinking ginger tea. Also, I'm into ginger tea now. This is like my first time
ginger
having
awesome.
It. It's like fresh ginger. Like Isaiah made it for me originally. And then I'm like, how do you make this? It's not hard. You just like, you know, freaking peel off the skin and then put it into a pot. But this thing kind of hits, which is this a wash take? Maybe. I don't care. I'm embracing it.
Here's the thing. Tea sucks.
No, tea is great.
There is nothing more depressing than me as a coffee drinker when I'm sick and I need tea. When I'm like, God damn it, give me the thing with the stuff. Can I get it? Can I get
it? It sucks
honey
that you
in
save it?
It
for when you're sick, when you can have it year round. But nothing is stopping you from just drinking tea. Put some honey in there.
I can have the coffee though. Man. I can have the coffee.
I can't do the honey. It's just, too
the
viscous.
Too much. I've been off of coffee for the last 2 to 3 weeks.
And look at your life just falling apart.
And I am falling apart. But also, I feel great. I don't feel as hyper as I usually feel.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody knows me as that hyper guy.
Do they? Is that like, what they
that
know
that
you
guy
as?
With all the energy that's bursting at the seams. That's what they know me as.
Huh. I was unaware that was your reputation these days.
Yeah.
Huh.
They call me Hyper Poppy.
They do call you Hyper Poppy. Yeah. There it is. We left the door open, Barrett. That's on us. For our PSN message, of course, you can write in to kindoffunny.com/PSILY, and you can do it for free, and you can get your question right on the show, and it's a great thought starter for the show. Today, Piano Fish Tank writes in. Piano Fish Tank says, are there any PlayStation VR 2 games in the launch lineup that are already on other platforms that you think or may get a second look from you and or a closer look if you've looked before? Basically, since of course, as we talked about today, Janet, did you see my tweet today about the email I got from MetaQuest?
No. What was
so,
it?
So I open up my email as I do every day and I have 4,000 press release emails about video games and it's great and it's amazing. Most time you blow right past them. I get this email, ladies and gentlemen, today from Meta. This is straight up from Meta. This is about the Quest. Headline, PlayStation VR 2 launch titles on Quest. Hi, Greg. The launch of PlayStation VR 2 on February 22nd will give players even more ways to enjoy VR games and developers even more places to create for VR. I'm like, wow, what a great sentence. That's a very good... I'm glad they understand that everybody needs to support VR. In case you can't wait for the PSVR 2 launch, it's my pleasure to share that, and they bold this, 42 out of 49 launch window titles and bold for PlayStation VR 2 are already available on or also coming to MetaQuest 2, with many of them brought to life through Meta funding. The launch of PlayStation VR 2 is great news for developers building businesses in VR, and there are now more ways than ever before for consumers or consumers to experience these games.
That is petty.
You want to talk about a compliment sandwich, like trying to sneak it in there of like, hey, it's great that this is coming out. We all need to support VR. That's the front. And then the end of like, hey, we're building a better business for all of VR people. That's great. And then in the middle, by the way, though, 42 of the 49 launch games you can get right now on MetaQuest.
That's really funny.
Coors Light, Cold Heart Effect, for sure. People don't want to hear that, but it is true. Oh man.
Well, that's been one of the things we've talked about from the beginning of this launch lineup, right? When they announced it, of like, okay, cool. Is it quality over quantity? What are we actually getting? What's actually new? What's selling and moving the PlayStation VR unit? You guys, of course, reviewed PlayStation VR 2 last week with the one and only Paris Lily. You had a great episode. Really appreciated it. I got pulled away by a family emergency, so my actual PlayStation VR time has been limited by quite a bit because I got a day and a half before I needed to eject, call Janet, beg her to take on doing my part of the work, and I was gone and didn't get back till basically Monday. And so I had my day and a half with it when we first got it. Then me and Bless have done a big stream on it, and I honestly... When I was listening to PS I Love You last week without me, the review, and I was trying to tweet about it and trying to get my thoughts aligned, I never actually did because so much was happening and pulling me away from my phone and any Twitter terminal I could use. But the summation, I think, of where I'm at with PlayStation VR 2 is this. It is heartbreaking to me, Greg Miller, PlayStation fanboy known far and wide on the internet, right, for his love of all things trophies, that I was sent up to Canada nearly as far away from my PlayStation VR as I could, the brand new piece of PlayStation tech. I was on the other side of the continent, and I was not like, I got to get back to PlayStation VR 2. It was very much, I was right there with you guys in what I've played, which is a very limited amount, obviously, so take it with a grain of salt. But for me, I was right there with you of like, the tech itself is great. The PlayStation VR 2 is a great feel on your face. The fidelity of the screen, I think the plug-and-play use, the controllers, et cetera, we could go on all day about it. But right now, what to do with it is just okay. We did the stream today, we jumped through a bunch of stuff, and I still have that same feeling I had a lot of PlayStation VR games, bless, of these just feel like tech demos. They just feel like things you jump into, you go like, oh, this is what cool VR, this is what VR can do right now, and then you put down the headset, and you go play a real game. And I use that as a loaded term, because I was in Canada, and I wasn't going... God, I got to get back to Call of the Mountain. Oh, I got to get back and finish all the trophies and what the bat. I was sitting there going, man, I just want Ben to go to bed so I can play some Octopath Traveler 2. Man, I want to get back to Wild Hearts. Like, I wasn't sitting there champing at the bit to go, hey, I need to play PlayStation VR 2, which is a heartbreaker. And I think there's things on the horizon. You know, I'm excited for Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. I'm excited to see what Ghostbusters Rise of the Ghost Lord is all about.
Firewall Ultra
for sure, right? As we record this, we have to record out of order, of course, because I'm hosting the Dice Awards. Please watch me and Stella do that on Thursday. You know, we're on the eve right now of tomorrow, Resident Evil Village gets patched to have its PlayStation VR 2 support, which, even though I wasn't a big fan of that game, I loved 7 in PlayStation VR 1. I'm excited to try Village in PlayStation VR 2. I know you, since the review, have been playing a lot of GT Gran Turismo 7 in VR. Like, there's cool shit there, but I am sit here, as the reviewer, pundit, critic, whatever you want, and I can't come up with the reason to tell you, yes, you need to run out and spend $550 on this.
Yeah. Gran Turismo 7, I will say, is the one game in the launch lineup so far where I'm like, okay, this is actually really selling me on this. And of course, I think it's going to take way more than one or a couple of games to really drive home, oh, I'm going to buy this thing for $550 to then play a bunch of games on, right, as opposed to just lying there. But yeah, playing GT7 the last couple of days, looking at the fidelity of it, right? Feeling how smooth it is to play that game, right? And having VR actually add something to that game. I think that's where it comes down for me in terms of what we're talking about in terms of launch lineup, right? Where, you know, you look at the MetaQuest email and it is this out of this many games, right? Like 90 to 95% of the library on PSVR 2 in terms of launch lineup are available on MetaQuest if you want to come over here and play over here, right? Like, I look at the lineup and I'm like, man, a lot of these games I've already played. Into Piano Fish Tank's question, right? Are there any games in the launch lineup that are already on other platforms that may deserve a second look? That has been where a lot of the fun has come in for me for PSVR 2, where I've been playing a lot of Res Infinite. I'm having a blast of Res Infinite. I've been returning to Tetris Effect because I absolutely love Tetris Effect and playing on PSVR 2, just as fun as playing on PSVR 1. Thumper is one that I'm giving more of a shot this time around, and I'm really enjoying. You know, that's one where, well, I picked it up on, it was either on PSVR 1 or MetaQuest. And I played the first level, and I was like, oh, this is neat, and then I bounced off. But I've been playing more of it at my desk, and I've been like, yo, this is actually pretty pretty awesome. But yeah, when we talk about those games, we're talking about older games or games that have been on other platforms. And then when we talk about things like Resident Evil Village or Gran Turismo 7, these are technically older games still.
Yeah.
And that said, like, you know, Gran Turismo, playing it, I'm like, oh, this feels like the way to play this game. And so, yeah, that is one that I'm going to add a lot of credit to in terms of, hey, this is an awesome VR title. But yeah, you have those. And then you also have the ones that you're describing as like, oh, these feel more tech demo-ish, right? Of like, I play Kayak VR and I'm like, this is not a meaty game in terms of content. And it's also not like a stop the world kind of game in terms of me wanting to come back and play it, right? This is a game that I'm checking out to check out the visuals, go, hey, this looks beautiful. Okay, this works. All right, let me play this one or two times, maybe get motion sick, and then bounce out and on to the next thing.
Sure. Janet, I know it's been a week of since your PlayStation VR launch review coverage. Have you had any more thoughts, any more time with different games? And then, yeah, are there anything in the launch lineup that you've passed before that you're like, this is the chance to give it?
Yeah, well, I just want to like start out by mentioning, you know, a lot of our conversation was on whatever the library that we had at the time, and that it is a little bit thin. And yes, to push back to that email, 42 out of 49, it's not a lot of new content. It will kind of, I think, to a degree, your fun will depend on what your expectation in history is. You know, I think that's why it was so cool having Paris on 100%. With that fresh perspective, where it's like, okay, maybe you are like Paris, and like you can benefit from that kind of vibe and that alignment, and that fits where you're at. Maybe you're like, you know, blessed, and you have a couple like experiences with different headsets, and maybe you've already experienced a lot of these games.
Can I jump in real quick before you pivot, though? Because that's a great thread that I want to pull on, and I really liked you guys having Paris on there. I really liked him having a different perspective than us who's played a bunch of VR stuff before. My problem, not with Paris or with that argument at all, is that I think even if I was talking to a Paris, if I was talking to anybody, a Trenton, New Jersey. It's a city joke. This isn't Paris. Mm. Anyways, if I was talking to anybody and they had never played VR before, I still think I would sit there and go, it's still a steep price for a bunch. Like, the amount of fun I feel like I've gotten out of most of the VR things we've done in the stream and running through stuff, and even if you want to go into PlayStation VR 1, with the rare exception, I feel like I get the same amount of fun as I give the people who visit my house and use it for the first time. It's PlayStation VR was the best. It was a lot like the Wii. It was a lot like Rock Band. Someone comes to your house and they're like, oh, is this VR? I've heard of it, but I've never used it. Oh my God, jump in. Let's do Job Simulator. Jump in. Let's do the game where you make the hamburgers. Jump in. But it would be that thing that they would play those games for 10, 15 minutes and move on to the next thing and move on to the next thing. And then those people who are coming and having those experiences were my casual gamer friends. They weren't buying a VR unit. And I don't know what it is about VR 2, but sitting here, and I guess the price point and the launch library and everything else, I still feel like you're at a Dave and Buster's, where you're running around from terminal to terminal and doing stuff, and I'm not sitting there putting in hour after hour after hour with something, which is why I sit there and I get excited for Walking Dead, of like, okay, well, it's a big RPG, and I hope the things that people didn't like about the MetaQuest version, or the version that was on probably everything, but whatever. I'm speaking out of turn there. I skipped it knowing it would eventually come to PlayStation VR 2. I hope that it'll be there. Something like Moss that I love so much. I'm excited, you know, that those kind of games exist. Those are the things I want. Those experiences I want. I want those quote-unquote real games. I want to be away from it and go, man, I can't wait to get back to it. Even Call of the Mountain. Like, I'd put multiple hours in. I'm into that game. I'm hearing the Call of the Mountain. I'm climbing up the mountain. Playing it before I left and then playing it today with you. I take it off and I put it down and I'm not like, fuck, I got to get back to this. oh my God, what is the story, the thing? I'm like, I'm climbing, and that's cool. The climbing is fun. The climb, the bow and arrow is fun. It's just like, I don't feel the call to go back to it.
Yeah. You don't want to answer the call.
And so that's my thing, like, is like, even if you had played nothing, I would still, I think if you were a casual person, it would be even harder to be like, well, yeah, it's $550 and you can play a bunch of things and do a bunch of stuff, but...
Yeah, I think that's the thing, that when it comes to a review, it's a difficult thing to nail down in terms of who are you talking to in this review. Because for me, from my perspective, right, I'm talking to the wider PlayStation audience. Hey, should you show up? Should you buy PlayStation VR 2, right? If I'm talking to the hardcore VR audience, I would say, hey, yeah.
You're going to buy it anyway, then.
Yeah, like, one, you're going to buy it anyway. But then also, yeah, $550, is the tech worth that? Yeah, sure. Like, it is powerful, right? And for that level of fidelity for $550, yeah, sure, give it a go. But would I recommend anybody pick up PlayStation VR 2 for $550 for the library that's there? Probably not, especially if you've already played these VR games on other platforms, right? I think that's where it comes down in terms of, like, who a review speaks to, who are recommendations for, all that stuff. I think for me, right, for me as somebody who does enjoy VR, and for me as somebody who's played PSVR 1 and played Meta Quest, so far, I look at the library and I am like, all right, like, it seems fine. Like, it seems okay for now, right? I hope that more stuff comes through. I think it really needs more stuff to come through. But for us who are, again, PlayStation people, are able to look forward in terms of, all right, what's PlayStation working on? What is PlayStation going to prioritize in terms of output? I get real scared about this thing. I get real scared about the amount and the kind of software that's going to come to this thing, especially coming off of Horizon Call of the Mountain. And you talk about, you know, not feeling to come back to it. We're talking about a game that, you know, got a 7 out of 10 from IGN, got a 7 out of 10 from GameSpot. Isn't, like, you know, isn't blowing people out of the water in terms of it being the next Half-Life Alyx or the next Astrobot Rescue Mission or the next Beat Saber or whatever. The game is fine. And that is the highlight PSVR 2 launch game. I think you need to bring more of the stuff. And for me, like, Gran Turismo is bringing a bit more of the stuff. I still need more than that, right? I think to justify that kind of price to a wide audience to come into, I think you need way more than that.
Yeah, I think, too, just to, like, you know, circle back to having more time to reflect, like, I have seen a lot of, you know, people's responses to, like, our review, lots of some other reviews and just the general discourse. And like, to Blessing's point, where it's like, oh, 550, is it worth it with the tech? Sure, it might be, but, like, that doesn't necessarily end up mattering. And that's how I feel about it as well, where you can make me a meal and spend a lot of time and spend a lot of money on the ingredients. If I don't like what I'm eating, I don't care. Like, it doesn't end up mattering. And I understand that, like, you know, again, different people look for different things in the evaluation of it. And for me, like, you know, leading the sector of, like, the PSVR 2 review in relation to not just the hardware, but also the holistic experience, that is why I landed at that 3 out of 5, where it's like, sure, maybe this is impressive, but I'm not feeling it. It does not connect with me. It doesn't resonate with me. I think your Dave and Buster's example totally nails it. A lot of my PSVR experience, despite being, like, what I would consider a VR fan, and, you know, definitely, of course, we want the platform to succeed. We want good 100% stuff on here. We're here covering it. I'm gonna be here regardless. Am I gonna have a good time? I don't know, but I'm here, you know? Like, we talk about that week after week. And for me, the experience of PSVR feels a lot like, no, I'm having fun, right? Like, this is pretty, I mean, like, I should be, right? Because you feel like, again, the price point, the tech, what they've managed to accomplish from a technological perspective, you feel like it should click. And for me, it doesn't. I haven't had an experience, especially a new experience with PSVR 2 that has made me, you know, be impressed or made me see what VR has to offer. The closest I have is, like, cool times from, like, back in that I had in 2016. I'm like, Moss Book 1 still hits. And hey, I didn't finish Moss Book 1 or 2. So I'm going to play, you know, I'm here now. I have it. I'm invested in it because I'm part of it, because it's part of my collection, it's part of my gaming experience. But yeah, I can't pretend that I feel something that I don't feel. And right now, for me, my PSVR 2 experience is fairly middling. And, you know, I'm optimistic about what the future holds, but I've also been here before, right? PSVR 1, it's like, oh, I liked it, but it's like, I really only had a couple games that I really am attached to on that platform. And again, we've seen PlayStation have these moments of the, you know, going for the second round. It doesn't always work out. And, you know, this stuff is hard to pull off. As far as the question too, like, you know, what games am I circling back to? You know, Moss, Walkabout Mini Golf just got announced, like, a few days ago. Yeah. That's coming to PSVR 2. I follow a lot of people that are heavy in the VR space and they talk about that game fondly. The Last Clockwinder is a VR game that I'm really excited to play. I'm someone that's in a weird spot where I don't have the Quest 2. So I'm like, well, now I'm definitely not also dropping money on the Quest 2. So like, I'm rolling with this PSVR 2. And hopefully, you know, we get all the games that are coming to other platforms, et cetera, et cetera. And The Last Clockwinder is one that I was really sad that I couldn't play because I didn't have the hardware for it.
And people
now
love
I do.
It.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. It's like this really cool, like, kind of a top. Automated like machine thing, like you are like different machines and you like throw an apple and then like you become the other machine to catch the apple and you kind of set up these funky systems. People, you know, my crew over at Minmax, like Leo Vader and Jacob Geller, are super hot on that game, so super I'm excited hot. For that
super
y'all know yeah yes, another good game y'all
it's
know before
hot,
your
I'm
eyes
just, I don't think super hot
no it's not well maybe spoilers for the prediction
state of play
might show up. But again, like, you know, we kind of so much of PSVR 2 at this moment, and you know, we're early. It's my dream that when we do like our re-review or our grading, however we want to couch it, that we feel hotter on it.
Oh my
but it's
God.
Like, I'm not going to pretend that I feel hot on it just because it's impressive looking. Like, it doesn't end up doing it for me. But I hope eventually it does get there. But yeah, I have had some, you know, What the Bat definitely hit. Doesn't have platinum, but that hit. Puzzling Places I'm excited for. Again, I think I've already mentioned Before Your Eyes is it's going to be on there. I think that's perfect for the eye tracking thing.
And
so.
That's the one that that's on my list, Before Your Eyes, because you talked about it so much. I had it downloaded on Steam. I eventually downloaded it on phone or whatever because it was on Netflix, right? And I never played any of them. So when it came here, I'm like, this is it. This is the moment. We're going to go get the trophies and play it there.
I'm so excited.
So that's there. I'm, you know, and to the question for Piano Fish Tank, I've talked about it before, but to reiterate, well, Walking Dead, which I've talked about, Saints and Sinners Chapter 2, but then also Moss Book 2, where I busted out PSVR 1 for that and had such a poor experience with the shaky cam and the move, I was like, I'll wait. And so I still, that's on my list of, I need actual time to sit down and play it and go through and have it. But I do want to both jump back to and then piggyback off of, you're optimistic about it, you say, Janet, right? I feel right now, you know, the day of launch when this posts, right, us here with it, I'm pessimistic. And I feel it's the more the fact of, like, the fact that the launch lineup, I don't think slaps. And this is, you know, we still haven't played Resident Evil Village and stuff like that or whatever. But what we've had doesn't slap. And then I do worry about the chilling effect on what that does for PlayStation and what it does for first parties. But I do believe the glimmer of hope is the fact that they're about to do this showcase that we want to talk about, of course, for topic of the show.
You got buried by surprise.
I caught buried by surprise. And here
it is. It was a really smooth transition.
Smooth transition.
It was too smooth for this show.
I apologize.
Too smooth.
I apologize for that. If you want, also, I want to point out, because I will keep forgetting, PlayStation VR 2, if you're a video listener, on the set right now, right there in the center. And I'm not using the PlayStation official dock for it. Instead, I'm using this new one from Collective Minds. What I like about this one is it has a stand. If you're an audio listener, can't see it. It is actually both. It's a stand to put the headset in when it's not in use. And then it's also got the controllers in it. So, of course, PlayStation's official one is just for the controllers. The other dope thing about this, as I discovered, that they weren't resting correctly on the official PlayStation one, you have to put little dongles in the USB-C slots and then rest them in this one, or in the official PlayStation one. In this Collective Minds one, you don't. It has USB-C.
That changes everything.
Okay. It has USB-C. That changes everything. So you lock the USB-Cs into it, and it's locked up.
And obviously, like, you know, we're not going to go over every single, like, tiny little, but that was something we didn't end up talking about, that I was like, what do I do with this? So the little dongle that, like, clips into the bottom of the controller, I just have them in there now permanently.
Oh yeah, I just keep them in the controller.
Is that bad for it? Like,
no,
I don't know.
Fine. It's fine.
Yeah. But like,
I mean, it's either that or you lose them.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, what am I supposed to take them off? I mean, put them on and off. So I love the idea of that being connected. I should, yeah, I actually don't know where my stuff is living now, because I have it like next to the Switch, like by my TV, like the headset, and then I have the controllers like on a coffee thing by my fridge, so I don't know where anything's supposed to go. That looks like a good spot for it.
Yeah, and I could be misquoted, but I doubt I am. I believe it was IGN's Taylor Lyles who had tweeted about this, and I hit up Collective Minds like, can me and Blessing please get these? They sent them over. So you can pick it up. It's up on Amazon. There's a bunch of different ways to go get it, but yeah, you can search for Collective Minds. PlayStation VR 2 Showcase is what they call it. And so, yeah, we just got them last week, but for me, just got them in yesterday, and personally, I prefer them, as I was joking around referring to a story I told you of the official PlayStation thing. I was like, doing a stream today, got to charge these things, got them in. I'm like, I think they're charging, and walked away.
Every single time.
And either someone jostled it, or I just did not have them on the actual connectors, and so nothing got charged, but this one's dope. I digress. Topic of the show. Good job. is the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that Thursday they are doing a PlayStation State of Play. We go to the PlayStation blog that writes, State of Play returns with its first show of 2023. Get ready for new looks at some anticipated games from our third-party partners, as well as a first glimpse at five PlayStation VR 2 games set to arrive later this year. Then, settle in for more than 15 minutes of all-new gameplay details and updates on Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, the next game from Rocksteady Studios. It all begins Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording early so I can go to DICE and host the DICE Awards on Thursdays, but fear not. Kinda Funny, of course, will be live reacting to the PlayStation State of Play. You can watch it on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And then after it, they will immediately record the games cast as the post show and discuss everything that happens. So you can get Blessing Andy and Tim's opinion there of what has been going on. Before we even jump into dissecting the actual information, it's important to pull up Jeff Grubb. Of course, Jeff Grubb, Giant Bomb. You know him well. He's always out there. He does a bunch of great work, and we love him. He had a couple of different tweets that had gone up when this was all rumored early in February. The list goes like this. Originally, Grubb tweets, State of Play before the end of February confirmed. It's gonna. Oh, I guess this is today's tweet. Sorry, my apologies.
Oh, no, this tweet, the first tweet you're reading is from a while ago.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. There's no date on it.
No, this is from today.
Because he nails it. He says everything I just said. Five new PlayStation VR games from our partners. He puts in parentheses, so not Astro. A lot of Suicide Squad, quote, new looks from anticipated. Then he goes, major PlayStation showcase before E3, still in the works. If you're not familiar with what he's doing there, and then we go to February 10th. Where he had quote tweeted Nobel, who had a rumor that said, according to Jeff Grubb on Game Mess Decides, there should be a smaller, low-key State of Play in the next 4 weeks, which he was correct about, and Sony saves some announcements for its big boy showcase, which should happen before E3. Jeff quote tweeted that and said, I see people keep saying March for State of Play, but I think it's more likely to happen before the end of February. Then he responds to that and says, also, the second show is not a bigger State of Play, it's a PlayStation showcase, which is its own thing, which is the major, gigantic one they do all the time. That is like the stage presentation, not all the time, the big stage presentation, big announcements. So, congrats to Jeff Grubb. We'll get into what that means for a PlayStation showcase. But right now, let's get into predicting what is going to happen on Thursday. Of course, the key points, anticipated titles from our third-party partners, first glimpse at five PlayStation VR 2 games, and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League getting a big thing. I guess even before predictions, Janet Garcia, is this exciting for you? Does this move the needle?
It's exciting in that we've been demanding to have some type of, I think, Meteor, PSVR 2, acknowledgement, roadmap, anything. Like, give us some PSVR 2 stuff, like, make it feel like it really is part of that PlayStation ecosystem. And this feels like that is that. So that's the exciting part to me. I will say it's a little bit dampened by the fact that it is, like, PSVR 2 partners. No shade to partners. Again, a lot of my favorite VR experiences are not, like, you know, first-party PlayStation VR experiences. Some of them, though, are. And I do think that is, like, especially when we talk about differentiating the platform or kind of, like, adding some novelty, freshness, like, make it feel like I need to be here playing VR here more than anywhere else. That's probably not going to come from, you know, a partner situation.
Well, hold on, Janet, because it's three different bullet points.
Sure.
The first bullet point is a look at some anticipated games from our third-party partners. The next bullet point is a first glimpse at five PlayStation VR 2 games set to arrive later this year. So they don't, the PlayStation VR 2 games don't have to be partner titles.
That's better.
This changes everything.
But, well, it doesn't change everything. But I, like, you know, it's good. I'm excited for it because we haven't had PSVR 2 stuff, like, at this scale. So yeah, I'm ready for this. And also, I like the idea of, again, just rumored, but having this and then having later the showcase. And again, we've always talked about State of Play, I feel like, is at its best when it's specific and, like, tailored down. So it's like, okay, we kind of go in knowing somewhat of what to expect, but there is a little bit of mystery allowed there as well. So yeah, let's see what these games are. I feel like I'm a little bit aggressive with the PSVR 2. Again, I want it to do well, but I'm like, I haven't seen it yet. Give me some food.
This is what's interesting about it, Janet, is that I talked about, you know, you at the top of the last segment, you were talking about being optimistic, and I said I'm more pessimistic. I feel like I am optimistic for the showing of these games at the showcase or State of Play, because I feel like They understand they need to message what's coming forward for PlayStation VR 2. They're giving it some spotlight, which is great. And they're hopefully giving us something to chew on of what's still coming to this. And I feel like this is where you would come out and have big hitters. You maybe not like, you know, fucking Last of Us or a God of War game, but like, or even AAA in general, move it to third party. I still think you could go here and have something cool that makes us go, oh shit, this, there's a reason to be excited beyond the launch lineup. Am I crazy, Bless, or is that too much? Am I giving you too much?
No, I mean, because I think they need something. I think that's been one of our hangups with PSVR 2 is the fact that, you know, we talk about launching new consoles, new hardware, and how you do that in a way that excites the audience, especially when you have a lineup that's involved. And for PS5 or Xbox Series X or any big hardware, you want those games that are coming out a year from now or 2 years from now that you can look forward to and go, oh shit, like one day I'm going to get Spider-Man 2, right? Like one day I'm going to get Horizon Forbidden West. One day I'm going to get Ratchet & Clank. You want those moments. And I think that has to exist like way beyond even where the launch lineup is to continue to give you that carrot on the stick to strive for. And I think this is an opportunity to give us more of those. In terms of like where I'm at with like the state of play as a whole, I do wish that the PSVR 2 stuff came out before, right? Like, this is the conversation we had leading in, is the fact that, you know, I had the prediction that they weren't going to do a state of play about PSVR 2 or leading into PSVR 2, right? And to do one the day after PSVR 2, I'm like, oh man, I wish y'all hyped this up going in. I'll go for it.
As a double-edged sword, right? Of like, mm-hmm. we're like, oh, there's not enough hype going in, but then we're sitting here going, like, is there enough hype about this launch lineup in general? Mm-hmm. Maybe it is that. Again, I don't want to set expectations that you're going to get something, five amazing PlayStation VR games. But even if there's something like when they did PlayStation VR 1's launch lineup or announcements, right, at E3, right? E3, where it was the Arkham VR and, hey, Star Wars. And it was like, oh, shit, these are cool IPs attached to it. I kind of like the idea of, hey, here are five games that actually look cool, are IP you care about. They're not going to be 60 hours or whatever, but they're great reasons to be interested in the future of PlayStation VR 2. And guess what? It's in stores right now. You could go get it right now and play 48 games, 49 games. And the Meta's like, but they're also nice. Get out of here, Meta. No one cares about you.
I think that's what you need to do, right? Yeah. I think you need to come out and be like, hey, we got some bangers for you. I think to expect 5 out of 5 bangers from this thing, I would be very shocked, but I think a couple of these have to be like, oh, snap. All right, that's coming. All right, let's go. You know, I think it would be the dream, and this is for real a dream, right, for Half-Life Alyx to be involved somewhere. I don't expect it anymore, but I think it'd be so awesome to have something like that in there. If we can get a new Astrobot, again, I don't expect it here because Astrobot, I feel like, is something you could even hold for a showcase. But if we get something along those lines, then let's freaking go. I'm going to need more than even just ports, right? Like, one of these games shouldn't be Beat Saber. And that's what I'm scared of when it comes to the showcase. I don't want to see a Beat Saber here because Beat Saber is a game that's been out on different platforms. It's a game that I feel like we should have the expectations should already be on there. I want to see those titles. I want to see stuff that's new. I want
to
see something.
You have to imagine that.
What is a new music pack?
You have to imagine they're not that bullish, right? To sit there and be like,
I mean,
it's first looks and it's Beat Saber. Like, I know technically that would be your first look at PlayStation VR 2 Beat Saber, but a first glimpse at 5 PlayStation VR 2 titles.
We've not seen Beat Saber for PSVR 2 yet.
Now we're
getting really into the weeds. Have we ever had a first glimpse of something we've known?
We've seen before. Well, something that's come out before.
Gameplay reveal.
Yeah, but I guess, yeah.
Here's my thing. It's like, I went through and I made my predictions. I put 5 on the line here in terms of what I think could actually be the things that show up there. And one of them I don't even really want to count, but we'll get to that when we have to, right? So I put in here, I mean, everybody, cool your jets, all right? But I put in here, actually, you know, I'll start with less exciting ones and build up, all right? Because I think they're...
Although I'm nervous scared. You are to
well, reveal. I'm trying to figure out the right way to do this, right? Mm. But I put, oh, so like, you know, least exciting upward, right? Behemoth. You heard it? Remember this one? Do you remember this game? It's a VR game from Skydance Interactive. It's so far only has a cinematic trailer out.
Okay.
So that's it. We've seen the cinematic side of it. We haven't actually seen the game in motion. I think that would be one I could see actually being put into that the state of play. It is our first glimpse of what it actually looks like and how it is, and get a release window, date, whatever on it, and be able to build off of that. In the same vein, I'm putting in Aliens. If you remember back in July 2022, Servios, I believe is how, Servios, and 20th Century Fox announced that they were doing a VR game in the Alien universe. At the time, they were like, it's going to be PC and console virtual reality. It's supposed to tell a new story set in the first Alien, set between the first Alien movie and the action-packed sequel Aliens, right? I feel like this would be another one of like the Aliens logo, cinematic trailer of it, of what's going on. You could get a pop from that. That would actually be like, okay, cool. What's going on with that one? Janet, when I was trying to correct you earlier, not even correct you, but be like, hey, technically they say third parties and then they talk about VR. Sure. It is Jeff Grubb's tweet does combine them. Five new PlayStation VR 2 games from partners, parentheses, not Astro. Okay. But I don't know if that's
I think that might be a typo. Or not a typo, but I think he might have misread it.
It's just interpreting the way they wrote it, right? Yeah. So it's like, sure. Unless he knows more than us, which he probably does. But if I'm right, and they are saying that it's just five new PlayStation VR 2 games, I do think you'll get something with a Sony first-party IP. I don't expect a Last of Us. I don't expect a God of War. But I could see them announcing something with Ghost of Tsushima. Mm-hmm. I could see them going that direction, right? Of like, all right, cool, we have other things in the PlayStation ecosystem that, you know, not Sucker Punch is working on, but another one of our sister studios, a flagship, some second party we're working on.
A Ghost of Tsushima sword fighting game, I would love so much. I think that'd be so cool to do in VR. And even as I've been playing Horizon, there are moments in that game where you're swinging around in a way where I'm like, maybe a Spider-Man VR game isn't impossible. Because you're climbing up to high altitudes,
like,
of course.
Swinging around, I kind of did like it, but it was kind of a lot. Like, what was your feelings on like the more intensive like locomotive kind of set pieces in that game?
I mean, I didn't always love that stuff, but I think if you make a Spider-Man game, you maybe could do that. If you're creative about the design of it, I think you could find interesting ways to do it. But I wouldn't be able to tell you what those interesting ways are. Is the thing. But yeah, like I think doing some more PlayStation IP VR stuff could be really cool. And one thing I want to bring up, right, in regards to Jeff's tweet, somebody did reply and said, like, quoted the PlayStation blog and said, the way it's written, I don't think it necessarily means that the VR games are all from partners. And then Jeff Grubb replies and says, good point. And so, yeah, it is.
Okay, good. Okay. Sure. And then, so then that's three of them, right? Here's where I start, mm-hmm. like, we start taking off. The plane's going probably too crazy on a hype train or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would toss in there, Alex, Half-Life Alex.
Okay.
I still think that'll eventually, it's going to make its way over here. Valve is very much in the meta boat of like, we got to support all these different things and why not make some more money off of that? And then my final prediction, which is the craziest because I really don't know the business dealings, but I don't think anybody does, would be that you get a trailer for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas VR. Because if you remember,
that's wild.
Remember, Meta did it. Meta had the whole thing when they did the metaverse shit where it was like a complete throwaway from Zuckerberg and the woman he was talking to, I forget her name, but he was like, I'm also excited to announce, you know, we're working with Rockstar to make GTA San Andreas VR for MetaQuest. It's going to be great, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I still think that that leaves open. It didn't sound like it was exclusive, like it was only their thing. I think that would leave the door open to come in here and be like, all right, here's an actual trailer, which would be incredibly short and whatever. But that is the one of, you do that and that's a megaton and that's a really, really big fucking deal.
Yeah. I would love that.
Of course.
Yeah. I would be shocked by it, but I would love it. And I think, you know, it being not an exclusive would make sense just for the fact that it's a Rockstar IP.
Yeah.
And, like, does MetaQuest have the juice to, like, get Rockstar to release one of their biggest titles as exclusive?
Well, when they announced this, they were ahead of a little bit more juice and money, I think, than before everything went to hell, but...
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I think all that stuff would be awesome. I think Half-Life Alyx would be such a slam dunk of an announcement, and I'm surprised that we haven't gotten it yet, which is the thing that's made me lose more hope on it as we've gotten further. But you know, I think that would count as like the, all right, now here's a banger. You know, this is something we talked to Paris about last week in terms of like, is there something on the platform that is, this is where it's at, right? This is the system seller for VR. I think having Half-Life Alyx on there would be a system seller, right? And I think it would, like, if you can get that and then maybe a couple others between maybe a new Astrobot game or something that is a Ghost of Tsushima game that is fire, right? That is a banger. You know, I don't want, I know we keep going back to Horizon Call of the Mountain. I don't want like a Horizon Call of the Mountain level game. I want something that is like, oh no, this works and this is really fun. Then I think you start to really sell people on the headset.
I would accept something that looks like Horizon Call of the Mountain though, because to its credit, like when I saw it, I was like, yeah, this could be it. And it just happened not to have been. So mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say like the idea itself was, you know, innately flawed. Like I think if I saw something that had that kind of vibe, I would pop for that because it had, and again, it's not a bad game by any means, but at the same time, to Greg's point, like I'm kind of going back for the culture more than for the fun. Like and I said this during our review, like I lived in those and Zero Dawn in Forbidden West because I loved it. I am living in Call of the Mountain. I'm going to live in Call of the Mountain for a bit because I love the other ones. And I'm like, I'm down for just like the collective now.
Even playing like, Call of the Mountain, right? It's like, I'm like, man, I can't wait for the fire one, Burning Shores. Yeah. I can't wait. Like, I can't wait to get back in this for Burning Shores. It's gonna be so good. Janet put it while we were talking there, put in the tweet from PlayStation that read, State of Play is back. Tune in Thursday, 1 p.m. for 5 new PlayStation VR 2 titles from partners. So
I love this back and forth. But yeah, that's like, definitive.
Because here's the thing, because I'm like, and this always happens when there's like a State of Play, because there's like 8 different ways it's written. It's like in the blog and in the thing. But I'm like, I feel like I remember it being from partners, and this is the from partners tweet.
Again, I know you're in the weeds, and I'm not even trying to be like, well, the Ghost of Tsushima thing could still have like partners.
But it's also the point of speculating.
You could partner up and have somebody work on a PlayStation IP.
Yeah, like Iron Man VR type stuff. Even though that wasn't a PlayStation
IP. I was like, wait, like, they don't know.
But it was like exclusive at the time.
Like Spider-Man with Insomniac when they did it. Well, I guess I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, and then hot Indian third party reveals, which is interesting. In case what they've said on the actual blog, of course, was just, hey, third party partners, nothing about indies or whatever. Interesting.
One that I don't have any sort of, like, this comes from nowhere aside from somebody in chat said it, and now I can't get it out of my head, was Ant-Man VR. And like,
That would be lit.
Right. When they said that, I was like, oh, don't just dream out loud. And I was like, wait a second, actually. That makes a lot of sense. Just based off of, we got Iron Man VR, right? Like, Ant-Man, if you're going to make an Ant-Man game, doing it in VR might be the way to do it, just for the cool shit you can do.
And you have to imagine they're working on more VR titles for Marvel IP, right? Where they're going with that. If that would be.
I'd love something like that. Or a Doctor Strange VR game. But I would love a Doctor Strange just proper game as well.
The Ant-Man thing, now you've like passed it on to me. Because now that's what I really want. And if it's not that, like, I would love just any game that utilizes you're a small character in a big world, because one, I love that in any game. Like, that's one of my like gaming tropes that I really enjoy. But two, that's one of the most fun things about being in VR is getting to feel immersed in terms of scale and spectacle. And I think that a game that kind of plays with that proportion would totally nail that. I mean, like, if you think of even just the beginning of Call of the Mountain, or like how they have that like movie version, part of the coolness is like seeing the creatures in, they were kind of like life size, you know, because you don't really have that experience in
Wait,
the game.
I'm sorry. Full fucking stop. We're talking about, you know, go wide again, Barry. We need to see everybody for this one. They were talking about, hey, they should make an Ant-Man VR game. And in the live chat, yo, call me Rob goes, that's just Janet's real life.
You know,
I almost spat my LaCroix out when I read that.
It didn't need to be said. But I will say, when I was playing VR, and like, I don't know, like light, it's not really spoilers because we know Aloy's in the game, you're just not Aloy. And I was like texting Blessing about playing PSVR, and I'm like, the thing that took me out of VR was the fact that I am taller than Aloy, which I just know is not true. Like,
God, that's so fucking funny. I think Among Us is gonna be there. Among Us VR.
Makes a lot of sense.
I think that's gonna be one of the games. Like, at this point, I've just accepted that it's gonna be Among Us, Beat Saber, and maybe like three other games that
for, I would be happy's a little strong, because like, you can argue I've never been happy, right? But let's dream for a second. I would be happy, I think, with two banger type things. And to me, a banger type thing would be a really cool, like, not necessarily a new IP, because a new iteration of an IP, right? So it could be like the Ghost thing, it could be, you know, freaking Ant-Man or whoever.
Inscription VR.
And, yeah, even though I'm like, I don't know, I don't think it will work, but I'm like, okay, sure, why not? Like Half-Life Alyx, like a big deal port, like a port that really moves the needle, like that would be, or even honestly, it's kind of a petty pop, but like, if we're going to run back 2016, 2013, whatever, like, give me an Astro port, even. Like, that would be something.
I mean, I would love them to port Astro. If they had it as one of the 5 announcements, I would be underwhelmed. That's one where I'm just like, put that in a blog post if you're gonna port Astro, because Astro's a dope ass game, but that's also a game that is now at this point old and has already been on PlayStation VR hardware. But yeah, this is a tough one to speculate about, because I think them saying 5 new PSVR 2 titles and even saying from partners can mean anything, right?
Yeah,
like, you're talking about new game or gameplay reveal. There's so much that we've not seen gameplay for that could be ports. And so now I feel like we're navigating just a very wide space of games that makes it very hard to predict. But yeah, like, I'm very much settled on, like, I think Among Us, Beat Saber, and then if we're lucky, Half-Life Alyx.
How long do you see this State of Play being? And I forgot offhand, like, is there a set cadence to, is it always like 30?
No, they change it up. They change it up.
Because they're looking at doing, like, the extended look for Suicide Squad is supposed to be like 15 minutes.
More than 15, yeah.
I would assume right, like 15, 30 to 30. 40 minutes on this. But yeah, talking about non-VR stuff, right? Because there's still space there for...
Oh, the anticipated games from our third-party partners?
Yeah. Like, what are we thinking in terms of that? You know, do we think... Because I wrote down, you know, Pacific Drive. We've seen that quite a bit. I could see that appearing here. I wrote down another trailer.
That'd
for
That'd be good Eternite. Indie, too.
Yeah. Because Pacific Drive, I think, fulfills that... Sifu, like PlayStation indie, like the kind of title that they like to promote, like Rollerdrome, Stray. Like, I think Pacific Drive is in that category of indie for them. Goodbye Volcano High, it's been forever.
If you want to play that. The game, because we like playing the game,
let's play the game
before you get to Goodbye Volcano High, I don't want to do that. Jan and I both took a demo for Pacific Drive.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, and I was actually going through my email to make sure the embargo's up because it's been a hectic month. And yeah, it lifted on the 9th. And I think what's interesting about that is if you were going to be in this, I think you would sit on your preview embargo until that day.
Mm.
Right? Because you want to pop and you want to be able to... But I guess it's you still kind of get the best of both worlds because you can have the thing on the 9th that we didn't talk about. And then, but other people did. And then this happens, people go, oh, yeah, that was a cool game and yada, yada, yada. We'll see.
Did the embargo on the 9th line up with anything? Any event or anything?
Not to my knowledge.
No.
And I didn't vibe with it, so I didn't really talk
about
it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I wrote up.
Don't say that. Y'all didn't vibe with Pacific Drive.
I knew this moment would come on a show where it wasn't like, we're not going to do a Games Daily about like Pacific Drive previews lifting. And I was like, maybe on a Gamescast where what have you been playing? We haven't done that in forever. And then I was like, you know what? There'll be a PS I Love You where we stumble into Pacific Drive. And I was just like, not vibing with this game.
I forgot to like,
this bums me out so much because I'm so looking forward to it.
But like,
because I wrote up a preview and everything. And like, yeah, Greg was there. I saw the circle in there. You know, I was like, okay, there's Greg Miller. Okay. To its defense, because preview always has caveats.
We didn't play hands off.
Yeah, hands off. Hands off preview. Maybe it just doesn't. Maybe you got to play it and be in it to feel it, but like the experience of doing a run just was not interesting to me. And I feel like it's a little bit less narrative heavy than I expected it to be. And at least from this, like, we didn't really get a glimpse into like the kind of what kind of narrative things will be popping up in this. We just know like, oh, well, structurally, like you'll learn more over time. But yeah, it didn't do it for me. I was not, I went in, which is again, kind of like a damning preview, but for me personally, I went in excited and I left less excited, frankly.
Damn.
Yeah, it just, I'm still going to play it because I'm like, yo, I rocked with it from the jump. Let me see how it turns out. But just the general flow of going out, going on these runs, getting car, like, you know, upgrading your car, and kind of being alone in this world too, like maybe it'll work out. Like I do see glimpses into, you know, the benefit of having an exploratory game like that, but I don't really see the carrot on the stick.
Yeah.
Like, why am I doing it?
Yeah.
And like, what's enriching in the process? Or am I doing this for a means to an end? And if I'm doing it for a means to an end, what's really compelling me to do it as a player?
What will make or break it is the intro and how they set it up. It's because we were, if you're not familiar with Pacific Drive for some reason, which I understand, it's a small indie game.
Yeah.
It's the one that you've seen where you're driving a station wagon out into the world doing runs. And so it is very much like you go out and you're getting materials to then make the car better, to make it, you know, stronger or do this or, you know, do these kind of things. And it's like, already I was like, all right, I'm not really the car guy of like, I want to build out the machine and stuff. Mm. So it's like, we were watching it and I was waiting for what the human element is. Who am I? What am I doing? And they didn't want to do the story at all. So it was just them showing the systems, which was then like, okay, like why am I doing this? Who am I? What is the point of this? And it was, I was talking to Jan about it. I'm like, you know, I get it. Systems are fun. Leveling up is fun. Getting stronger is fun. Like that's there. But like watching the demo we were presented with, you know, like you're just like running from blue electricity on the ground or this, that, the other trying to, it's like, it didn't. There's like things in the sky that are floating and trying to take your door. And it was just like, I think what I sent to Janet was like, where's the fun? Like, I just don't see, I'm not seeing the fun I would connect with it. And obviously, you know, we all play different things. So don't let us, if you're totally in on the concept of what it is, don't let that bum us, let us bum you out. But it's just like, from what, if it has a strong opening explaining like what the fuck is going on and what the fuck I'm trying to do, awesome. If the game is, no, make your car fucking stronger and drive through these green things, I'm going to be like, all right, cool. I'm not in this.
Well, damn.
We'll see, though. Sorry.
But they should still keep showing it because you got to promote it. And a lot of people, again, to Greg's point where it's like, yeah, we should have opened with what the hell this game is, because I talked to plenty of people that love PlayStation and they like these, especially these smaller indie titles, they miss them. So I wouldn't be surprised if I see that, you know, rolled out here, no pun intended, because the car has wheels.
Full disclosure, even though I just shit all over that game, I guess that proves my point. That's a Pop Agenda game, and my wife works or founded Pop Agenda. So, you know, whatever. In terms of PR, they don't make the games. They just help them publish them. But I'll tell you what, I'm playing it.
I'm still going to play it because I want to see how it all comes together.
Yeah, that was the Pop Agenda game, too. Man, Pop Agenda posters and stickers, huh?
You have a family meeting. Like,
honey, what are you doing?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to have to re-drag Jet the Far Shore, but I will say, because it was like a PS Plus game like not too long ago, and then Isaiah turned to me and he's like, well, damn it, why did I redeem this? Like, I don't want this game. Because he saw me play and he didn't like it either. Anyway, other indie games that are exciting. Speaking of previews, like I previewed Chia earlier this year. I'm really excited for that. I really enjoyed my time with it. And I feel like since they had that preview, and they do have like the 2023 window, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw like a date. I do think Chia is kind of in that realm, to your point, Blessing, of there's a couple titles that we are kind of like starting to associate more heavily with PlayStation, even if they are like multi-platform titles. And I think Chia has been in this kind of setting before and might pop up again.
Yeah, I think Chia would be a good bet for something that we see, because that's a game that's been floating around for what feels like forever.
It's got to come out before Breath of the Wild 2, though. Oh my god, like I just realized.
Oh yeah, because that game definitely has some of those vibes to it. And so yeah, I think they'd want to get it. I think that's one where it's
a Zelda-like game, yeah.
I think it's like either it's out in the few weeks, or it's out now, or it's out soon, or they give a date for the fall, because I don't think you want to release that near, man.
One of mine, not on the indie side of it at all, but in terms of their anticipated games from our third-party partners that I think will be there, I think you're going to get a Crash Team Rumble.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I think it'll get that, maybe even a release date, because I think that's still just 2023, right? 22.
Though that's an Activision joint and they're being bought by Xbox.
I think that's another one, right? Of just being like, hey, you ain't bought yet. Come over here. Help us out. Do this thing.
All right. Yeah, I can see it. One author out there, speaking of third-party partners, on the AAA side, there was that game, was it called Stellar Knight or something like that? It was like, I'm going to look this up, because now this is going to bother me. It was at one of their previous State of Plays. I believe it was at the last State of Play. I have it pulled up here. Let's see. It had Tekken 8, and the PSVR, the Demio was there, Dragon Age.
Saying Stellar Blade? Maybe?
Stellar Blade. I think, yeah, Stellar Blade. That was the thing that was formerly known as Project Eve, and it's a really cool looking action game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe that is slated for sometime this year. And so if that's the case, I think you would want to follow up on it and maybe give a date or something. There's also Goodbye Volcano High. I brought that up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think we ever see that game ever again?
I mean, you have to at some point, right? But you want to talk about
it. It's struggling. It seems like it's like, it's been, because it's gotten delayed at least once. Did I dream that?
Well, it was announced as a PlayStation 5 launch game. It was in the launch window or whatever.
Wait, was it really?
Right.
When they debuted it there, yeah. That was in the first PlayStation 5.
But like, was it announced for launch, or was it like, because I remember that's where we first saw it. So I've been like waiting on this thing to actually come out.
Down the road.
But I feel like, I don't know if they ever gave it a window.
I think they did give a window, but they never give a date, I don't think. So it's like, the debate of what is a delay, like, oh, well,
yeah,
we,
if you
know.
Never say what your actual date is, can you really,
I mean, I wrote it in my diary, but like, that's not how official is that? Because
I think
what
the,
I mean?
The
like,
last few games from those showcases that were made,
the game
like,
was initially announced on June 11th, 2020, at Sony's Future of Gaming online event for the PlayStation 5 with a release window of 2021.
Wow. Okay, well, but, like, this and Little Devil Inside are like, I think, the last two indie titles that they had included in that thing. And now I'm just waiting for those to come out, right?
Little
like I'm
Devil
expecting
Inside
those at every
single thing.
Haunting
me. Like I am so excited to like get to move on with my life, because there's always that one game that like just keeps not coming out, and I'm like, all right, still excited, still waiting. So yeah, I don't know.
Who's gonna draft it?
Which one, Little Devil Inside?
Absolutely not. Honestly, I don't know that I believe. I gotta see more again. You know what I mean? Because I always see different stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I have the faith, if I'm being honest. I'm gonna show up, but I'm not full of faith.
A couple more I'll throw out are, I think we'll see something from either Street Fighter 6 or Tekken 8, and I think it might be a character reveal.
Okay.
Or maybe both. Mm. Who knows?
What about Final Fantasy 16?
Ooh, I mean, that's coming up, right? That's coming out in June. So we're getting close to the time where you'd want to hype it up. Yeah, I guess because they're with PlayStation. It's PlayStation exclusive. Yeah, I can see that.
That's a good one.
But now, are we overhyping ourselves? Is my question.
No, because I feel like how much hype. I mean, I know people are excited for the game, but it's not like it's new information. It's just like we're here to sell and remind you we got some games.
You can almost hear me say the entire how. And I was like, how much hype is there for Final Fantasy 16 in terms of like, it's a known quantity. You're in or you're out. That's gonna, it's not like it's a brand new announcement, right? It is just the idea of it. Janet nailed it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still talking. Like, I think the overhype would be Death Stranding 2 stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
What about Spider-Man
2? This is...
No.
No.
If you're doing this, come on. Jeff Grubb's never wrong. And if he says there's a showcase around E3, you save Spider-Man for that.
Yeah.
And in general, State of Play is, you know, more specific and also a little bit more low-key. Like, no shade to any of the games that they are talking about here, but, like, it's either... You're either here because of specificity, or you're here because low-key, you're, like, in the B or below. And that's not... Hey, not everything is, like, the hottest thing in the world.
How dare you do that to Resident Evil 4 Remake and Street Fighter? That was the one before E3, so that doesn't count.
They did that to Resident Evil 4. Okay, that's a... Look, let's... Why is that, right? And why is that? Why is that there? I think we know why. And again, it's not to say there aren't headliners for a good State of Play. I think a good State of Play does have things where you pop for it, where things that'll make you say, no, this was good because we had... blank. Mm-hmm. You need that to have a good State of Play, but that doesn't mean that, you know.
I want to ask about expectations for State of Play.
Resident Evil 4 Remake, that has to be something there probably, right?
Yeah, probably a new trailer.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I want to ask about expectations now for State of Play, because around this time last year, I think the conversation was basically never expect any bangers anymore from State of Play, because they stopped giving those out. And then State of Play happened in May that brought the goods. That was Resident Evil 4 and Street Fighter 6 and Rollerdrome and all those games. And there was one in September that also had some pretty good stuff there, right? And I want to recap a little bit, because the one in September, we had that God of War Ragnarok story trailer that closed out that thing. We had Sin Duality. We had Rise of the Ronin. Project Eve, aka Stellar Blade. There was another look at PlayStation Stars. Remember PlayStation Stars?
Man.
There was Hogwarts.
I gotta opt
put
in.
It in VR.
I gotta opt in and collect some shit, probably. No.
Oh, yeah, there's probably a hell of VR challenges in there. You think they forgot about that?
I don't think there's one VR challenge in PlayStation Stars right now. I will check for you and let you know.
Pizza bet.
I'll bet.
No, because I kind of believe him. Hogwarts Legacy was there. Pacific Drive was there. Dragon Ishin was there. Demio, that's a tabletop VR game, that was there. The Star Wars Tales from Galaxy's Edge Enhanced Edition was there. And then Tekken 8 was at the end. This is all from the last State of Play that happened in September. Yeah. There was that May one. I'm not going to recap that one, but trust me, it was a banger. And then before that, there was one in March. And this is during the season of me every single time being like, don't expect shit from State of Play. This is what that State of Play looked like. We got a trailer for Exoprimal coming out in 2023. That's the one that everybody thought was Dino Crisis that ended up not being Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
There was a trailer for Ghostwire Tokyo. There was a Stranger of Paradise trailer. There was a trailer for Forspoken, Gundam Evolution, TMNT, the Cowabunga Collection, Giga Bash, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Trek to Yomi, the Returnal Ascension co-op update, the Deal Field Chronicle, and then Valkyrie Elysium. That was a whole ass State of Play. And like, granted, like there's some cool things in there, but for the most part, I feel like that was sort of a letdown, right? And that was the one that was last March. Yes, that was March 2022. Are we back to where we're like, you know what? State of Plays are going to be bangers now.
Are you
bangers,
saying we need to do another State of the State of Play?
Yes, State of Play.
Also, we snapped on that episode.
That was a great episode. We need to get rid of Greg Miller more
often. Yeah.
Damn, fuck, guys. Come on now. Hey, we're all friends here. We are all friends.
But yeah, you say no.
I think
you say
we need.
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I think we need a little
bit. You would have gotten a pizza if you would have taken the bet.
Damn it. What are the VR challenges? Can I get one?
Oh, well. Yeah, no. So you could get the heroic collectible Sony Glasstron PLM-A35. Ready to put on your headset and peer into virtual future? No, not with the PSVR 2. We're talking about the Sony Glasstron PLM-A35, the futuristic head-mounted display from 1997. The way to unlock it is don't dig out your old Glasstron. Just play any game on the PlayStation 4 or 5. I'm sorry, I would have won.
Wait, what the fuck? Why would they make a VR challenge? It's not a VR challenge.
Well, it's not a VR challenge. It's just about the Glasstron.
Is this a reference about a VR thing that they did in 97?
This is a jab at themselves for how little that they're promoting PSVR 2, that they're like, let's not even do something for that. Let's, you know, do this weird reference to the 80s.
There's a fighting game?
It was 97.
Oh, here you go.
The 60s? I don't know.
Remember, I was just talking about folding at home. Thank you for being one of the among the 15 million PlayStation 3 owners who help scientists study proteins. With your help, over 100 million computational hours were used to help scientists better understand complex diseases. I can get this folding at home collectible if I play any game on PlayStation 4 or 5.
You're making
this
up. I
fucking hate this shit.
Stars does not hit.
Does
Stars needs a revamp.
Not hit at all. Just stop.
No, let it die.
I digress. I'm sorry. Shouldn't have gotten distracted. Just, you know how I get riled up about fucking Stars.
Of course. No, I understand.
Thank you.
I understand.
So State of Play good now, Greg?
I think State of Play is solid. Like, I think what State of Play does well is tell you ahead of time what it's going to be. And then it's about up to you not to run crazy with, like, what you think it might be. Which is why here, of like, you know, even getting to San Andreas or Alex.
I was
like,
going to say, you said
they should
San
never
Andreas
have left it up to me. That's their, that's, that sounds like a personal problem. Why would you leave it up to me?
I feel like, you know, oh, is this one going to be a crazy one and set our hair on fire? Maybe, maybe not. Like, I think the VR stuff probably won't, even if it is some of the cool shit we talked about. Was that going to be the most amazing game of all time? No. And the third-party partnership stuff, no, it won't be the big stuff because they'd save that for a showcase, and third parties, the biggest third parties want to make a splash on their own. But I think it's going to be a solid one. I think it'll be fun. I think I'm, again, like we were talking about, excited that at least they're talking about PlayStation VR beyond the launch. Mm-hmm. We'll see. You know, it's a day beyond the launch. Let's see what happens, you know, after that as we go. But I'm okay with it.
I'm expecting to come out of this PlayStation showcase or place State of Play and going, all right, cool.
Do you, the one thing, and I know we've gone long on this, so we can get out of it and go to the ads after this. But like the one thing we haven't talked about, which is a weird prediction, but like I'll give it, is like, what is your hype level now for Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League? And do you think it's gone up exponentially after this State of Play?
Oh, that's a good question. Because my hype level went down a lot after the whole Battle Pass leak that they had.
Sure.
Right? For me, that gave me, no offense, a lot of Marvel's Avengers vibes. Sure. In a way that didn't excite me. And I think them doing 15 minutes at a PlayStation State of Play is a very, very good decision. Because I think they need time to
Get into the nitty gritty.
Yeah,
this
let's
game
get
is.
Into the details. Let's actually tell you what this game is, as opposed to just showing you a bunch of cinematic trailers that look really cool and it's going to overhype it. Let's actually show you what this is. I'm going to say, yeah, I think doing 15 minutes at a State of Play speaks to confidence. So I think, and honestly, right now I can only go up. And so, yeah,
I feel like that's where I am too, where it's like, we've talked about this before, but it's like, all right, cool. Like, I know Rocksteady from the Batman games, and obviously I like the Batman games. So like, there's a base level. Rocksteady is really good. But again, as I've beaten this horse to death so many times, I don't want to be the Suicide Squad. I want to be the Justice League. This, it looks, I don't know 100%. Will I ever want to be King? Like, I'm in the basement in terms of hype on this. So yeah, I can theoretically only go up if it looks good. Mm. Janet, are we wrong?
Maybe, yeah, because I could go down. I could definitely go down for sure. Like, I am not excited about this game. I don't think it's going to be good, but I wasn't confident enough to counterpick it in our draft because everyone's like, Rocksteady doesn't make bad games, and no one makes a bad game until they do. So I personally don't have any faith, and I am nervous about what we're going to see, but I'm excited to, like, get something that's more practical to, like, y'all's point. Like, what do the systems look like? What is the gameplay loop? And you know, it's still just 15 minutes. That's not a lot of time. Hopefully they use it well and at least give me a clear understanding of what to expect. Cause I feel like I don't currently have the best understanding of what I'm going to get out of this.
Sure.
All I have is everyone telling me that Rocksteady doesn't make bad games. And that's personally not enough for me. Cause that's just never enough.
They've not put out a bad game since 2015. Because they not put out a game in 2015.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, yeah. It's like, okay, like,
it's easy to put out a bad game when you haven't put out a game in years.
Maybe you're watching, and I would love to be wrong. I would love for this to be, oh no, this is like one of my favorite games of the freaking year. That would be incredible. But I am not feeling great about it. So we'll see.
What I am feeling great about, ladies and gentlemen, patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of PSI Love You XOXO ad-free as an MP3 and a YouTube video. Of course, you can get a bevy of bonus content, dozens of episodes each and every month, like Kind of Feudy, Greg Way, The Shit List, Next Gen Podcast, the list goes on. There's so much there for your audio and viewing pleasure. And of course, you get all sorts of cool merch and exclusives and things we put up that are super, super neat. But, like I said, no support for this show. You can get it ad-free over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsor.
Shout out to HelloFresh for sponsoring this episode. Remember those New Year's goals you promised yourself that you'd stick to? Well, HelloFresh is here to help you eat better by delivering fresh ingredients and easy recipes right to your door, taking the hassle out of dinner time. Fast and fresh recipes, HelloFresh's latest line of meals featuring robust flavors and filling portions, are ready in less than 15 minutes, so you can enjoy taste and quality done quick with recipes like falafel power bowls, seared steak and potatoes with béarnaise sauce, or Southwest pork and bean burritos. A ton of us here at Kinda Funny have been using HelloFresh for years. Kevin loves how easy it is to get Paula vegetarian options, while I just love how quick the fast and fresh recipes come together during a hectic day in the studio. Go to HelloFresh.com /kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. That's hellofresh.com/kindoffunny65 and use code kindoffunny65 for 65% off plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blessing.
Greg.
What's happening this week in PlayStation?
Speaking of VR, there are 10 new PlayStation VR 2 games that have been announced for the launch window.
What?
Yeah, are you ready for this?
I'm sure they're going to be a bunch of high-quality game names that don't sound like they were spit out of a random generator.
You're getting Another Fisherman's Tale.
Fuck.
Gorn. Knock Bow Plus Arrow Soccer.
Have you seen this?
Okay, no. Wait, hold on. Stop.
Actually, Barrett, they put out a trailer for this, I think, right before we went live. Knock, : Bow Plus Arrow Soccer is Bow and Arrow Soccer. It's Rocket League, but instead of it being
Bow and Arrow.
Yeah, please pull this up. We got Hellsweeper VR. Ragnarok, but rock is spelled like rock and roll. Runner. Start Enders, intergalactic bartending, which I'm in that game.
Apparently, also, yes. You're in
there. Yeah, we started playing it during the stream. We never got to the part where you meet my character. Oh yeah, this looks exactly like Rocket League.
Not a fun tutorial.
Oh,
see?
Oh, all right, Greg. I'm gonna need you to give me a code for Knock.
You're gonna go bow pro. Arrow. Go pro and Knock Bow Arrow Soccer.
We got Sushi Ben, Swordsman VR, and then Unplugged Air Guitar.
All right. Bringing the bangers, you know?
All right, let's talk about PS Plus Extra. Horizon.
Well, I mean, for real, like, it's hard. It's so hard to go from that, right? Of like, here's some generic ass names.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, Knock and Bow, like, you know.
Knock and Bow looks cool. Yeah. I know Gorn is a game that's a VR game that's been out for a while, and I know people do like Gorn.
And I feel like Fisherman's Tale, Another Fisherman's Tale is pretty. Well, it's new, right? That's like brand new, generally, right?
I don't know.
Because Fisherman's Tale came out last year. Not last year. Oh my god, on PSVR 1, Fisherman's Tale. I feel like that one's pretty solid. I actually would probably check that one out. It's like a puzzle game.
Hell yeah!
And then the fact that I have to explain that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the only one that recognizes this. I think also might have something to say that isn't the best.
We started Runner on the stream and. It looks, I mean, it's an anime adapted thing, I assume, from an older anime, and it looks fine. Greg played it. Greg wasn't enjoying it, but
you guys were like, oh man, this is cool, this is going to be fun. I was like, I'm not enjoying it.
Me, Kevin, and the audience were all like, oh yeah, this looks interesting. Greg's like, I don't like this.
Greg hates anime. It's okay.
Oh.
That's fair. It's true. And then, yeah, I mean, is anything else? I mean, Unplugged Air Guitar, I kind of want to see what that is because it sounds interesting.
I've been hankering for like Guitar Hero,
yeah,
and like Rock Band, but like this won't be that.
No,
you know what I mean. Like this is gonna be strum your arms. Like all right,
I want to be the bartender. The bartender.
Oh yeah, then play Startender. I mean, Startenders is basically about being a bartender in space.
Okay, because honestly, like it's funny because like I pulled up, I was playing like the Star Wars. Oh my god.
Oh, this is air guitar game
from the galaxy. What is the name of
air
the game?
Guitar, yeah, this doesn't look terrible.
Sorry, Janet. What were you saying?
What is that Star Wars game? Tales from
Galaxy's Edge.
Yes, like I was playing that, and like when you get to the bar, like my brother like was seeing me play, and he's like, "I just want this to be a game." So like that's Startenders. So hell yeah.
Hell yeah. All right, let's talk about PS Plus Extra. Horizon comes out today, or if by the time you're listening to this, either yesterday or earlier this week, to PS Plus Extra. The rest of February's PS Plus extra tier games, which premium subscribers also have access to, look like this. The Quarry on PS4 and PS5, Outriders for PS4 and PS5, Scarlet Nexus for PS4 and PS5, Borderlands 3 for PS4 and PS5, Tekken 7 PS4, Ace Combat 7 PS4, Earth Defense Force 5 for PS4, Oninaki PS4, Lost Sphere for PS4, I Am Setsuna for PS4, and then The Forgotten City. Go and play that.
Go off.
Yeah, play Forgotten City. It's a fantastic game. If you like fun detective mysteries, if you like time loops.
This is the one that started as a Skyrim mod,
yes,
right?
Yes, this was a Skyrim mod that got awards for narrative, and then they ended up turning it into its own game, and it came out 2 years ago. God, time flies.
It does.
But yeah, check that out. And then premium level subscribers get 3 PS1 classics playable on PS4 or PS5. Those are Legend of Dragoon, Wild Arms 2, and Harvest Moon Back to Nature. The PS4 version of 2005's Destroy All Humans is also available to premium subscribers. Remember, premium is where you get the classic games.
Yeah. So, extra is just the one where you get the other games.
Yeah. So Destroy All Humans, PS4 version, classic game, according to PlayStation.
Hey, whatever. That's a great extra tier.
It should have been an extra tier.
No. I'm saying fuck Destroy All Humans. I don't want to talk about it. I don't give a shit about it. Sorry, Barrett. Oh. Sorry, Barrett. I know you like Destroy All Humans. I'm sorry.
Barrett's facial expression.
The point I'm making. I know. I wish I had a camera on Barrett right there.
Barrett's going to swing on somebody.
He comes out of the little, like, I can't see him. He comes to the glass to flip me off. Here he comes. Oh, fuck everyone.
Oh, he's making his wrestler entrance.
He's running.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Oh, God.
He loves probing people. What I was saying is, it's a great month for PlayStation Plus extra.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Quarry, Outriders, come on. Borderlands 3, you know, I'm picking the games I like a lot, and I know how much you like Forgotten City.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
That's Forbidden West.
Horizon Forbidden West, I think, being the headliner there, is such a fantastic addition to PS Plus extra.
Yeah.
Do you think we see more games, more of the PlayStation Studios games come to PS Plus extra, let's say, 1 year after release? Because Horizon is about to hit its 1 year birthday.
Horizon's about to sell some DLC.
Okay,
let's get you in there. Let's
good call.
You didn't play this game. Why don't you come in and you play this and think it's awesome? And then guess what else you get? Yeah,
buy this DLC.
Yeah,
that's a really good call.
Yeah, I think when they have something like that to promote, yeah, you'd see stuff like that happen.
Talking about the drop, of course, or PlayStation Picks, I should say. PlayStation Picks, we talk about the games that are coming out this week on PlayStation, along with the games that each of us have picked to play on PlayStation. This week, I had to open up Game Informer because we're getting, let's see, Atomic Heart, February 21st, Like a Dragon Ishin, February 21st, a bunch of PSVR 2 games. I'm not reading all of this, but
all 48 of the launch lineup we've talked about.
Yeah. Yes. A bunch of PSVR games, and then Octopath Traveler 2 is coming.
Woo!
February 24th to PS5 and PS4. Greg, what'd you pick to play on PlayStation this week?
What I've been playing is Octopath Traveler 2. Full disclosure, I haven't playing it on Switch because, of course, I got pulled. I know. Ladies and gentlemen, before you boo me, let me remind you I played the original on Switch, of course, because that's all it was at the time. And then, of course, I was on the road. I didn't have my PlayStation.
When given the opportunity to be on PlayStation,
would you rather me hear Janet saying I played nothing on PlayStation because of a family emergency? Or would you rather me talking about Octopath Traveler?
I'd rather you stick to your guns and, you
know, I'd rather you shut up. I'm sorry I pissed you off about the fucking destroying.
No, I get it, though. I assume your save from Octopath 1 carried over to 2.
It actually unlocked a ninth character, which
it did.
I'm fucking up.
The ninth traveler.
Now it's Ninthopath. Because I don't know.
The rumors
anyways,
are true.
Okay. I'm playing. As many people know, I'm not the JRPG guy by any stretch of the imagination. Octopath 1 was one of those rare ones that super connected with me. I was like, this is so much fun. This is awesome. And I played the shit out of that on Switch. I got this one, and I'm still early in it. I've only been able to put probably like 6 or 7 hours into it. But I'm having a great time with it. It's the same awesome combat system, if you're not familiar with it there, where you battle these enemies and, you know, but as you do attacks on them, it'll show you what they're vulnerable to, which then, you know, you use the vulnerabilities to then get them into a like sleepy state or whatever, where you can do bigger moves on them and yada, yada, yada. But of course, the whole thing is that you have all these different characters you play as. It's broken up by chapters. One of the things they talked a lot about with the sequel here is that they wanted to make sure the stories actually intersected more, because they didn't do that much in Octopath Traveler 1. I am already seeing that early in the game, the stories crossing over and influencing one another. And it's the same thing a lot how I don't know how much you ever played of the original Octopath, but it's a lot how you talked about Live, where it's like, you know, sometimes this one hits or this one doesn't, but you're in and out of it so quickly. And I think the stories you jump around, right? Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's what I think works for me in so many different ways. Of course, it's the, you know, HD 2D art style that, you know, at the time was so charming and so crazy for Octopath the first time around. Now, of course, it is like standard fare. You see this in a lot of different places. But it is this idea playing through it that I think what works for me is the simplicity of it, where it is I'm getting a story. It's all voice acted. You know, they are telling me these different little tales that even if I'm not into the one I'm currently playing, I'm going to get off of it soon enough to get to somebody else's. And then it's the idea of like, okay, cool. Run around the town if I want to do the side missions, you know, in dungeons, go down this one place to get to a treasure chest to get better equipment, better loot or whatever. Then go in and do the battle system and then you're on to the next thing. Like the pace of it works so well. And again, works well for me personally as a handheld on Switch. Of course, now that I'm back in the United States in SF, I could be playing it on my backbone and having a whole bunch of different things there. But right now I'm having a great time with it. I you know, long from ever rolling credits on it. We'll see. I'm very excited for this dice trip to actually be able to just sit in a plane and not have to, you know, me and Jen trade off Ben or something for it and then get to a hotel and be able to just chill. I want to chill in a bathtub and play for a while. That's like the dream I have right now.
Don't after drop it.
The hellish two. Ah, fuck it.
Oh,
the
see, Switch I was is imagining fine. He wasn't even taking a bath. He's just sitting in an empty bathtub.
I just want to sit there. Really, I think he's like the acoustics would be great times. For it. The acoustics would be really, really great for it.
Oh, yeah.
Having a great time with it. I'm very happy to have Octopath back in my life.
So in the way that it's formatted, because when I played Live Alive, right, like for the stories, you're hopping in and then like you do the story and it's like an hour to 2 hours and then you move on to the next one and you don't really go back and forth between the characters.
Sure.
I assume in Octopath, are you going back and forth and like how does that
so the way it works like you when you're playing right and you're going through your thing, the game's always very clear of like, okay, this area is like for level 15 or this thing's there, and like it'll show your if you're on a your character's thing and it'll show you the objective, it'll say like, oh, that's, you know, level 16 up there, so you know you need to play other stuff to get there. And so usually you'd see going up to that chapter 2 or 3 or whatever it would be for your character, the other characters are populated on the screen there in terms of like in grayed out like Fog of War areas. You work your way, you meet them, and then what happens usually is it'll ask you, like, cool, hey, you've met this person. Do you want to play their story? Like, you wouldn't be able to do anything else with anything. You won't have the wheel again, basically, until it's done with chapter 1 or chapter 2 or whatever it's going to be. And if you say no, you can always go to a bar and play that story when you want to. But I usually just say yes and do it that way, and then they join your party, and the game kind of mutates off from that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I really want to try it out, because, again, I loved Live Alive so much, which also had the HD 2D style. And, like, Octopath 1, I started, and it's just that weird thing of Octopath takes itself way more seriously than something like Live Alive, because it's, like, truly, like, a fantasy RPG, whereas Live Alive is like a goofy fantasy RPG, I guess. But yeah, like I fell off of Octopath, but since playing Live Alive, I've fallen in love with the art style so much. Sure. I really like what Square Enix does with the
it's so gorgeous
TV stuff.
And I should say too, you know, I'm often, I'm, you know, I'm the handheld guy for Octopath, and then often when I talk about video games, I'm not the music guy like Tim is. Like, it is gorgeous, and I think the soundtrack is so fucking good.
Really?
Like, it is one of those games that I'm playing on the Switch and I have it turned up and I'll put it down to do something and I'll just let it like sit on the menu or battle music because I like it so much.
Hell yeah. Janet, what'd you pick to play on PlayStation this week?
I'm going into the weeds of my library and I'm like, what do I want to knock out? But also because, you know, I think last episode maybe I was or like 2 episodes ago, I was talking about playing games with Isaiah on PlayStation. And I'm like, you know what? We haven't done Isaiah. We haven't done a single player game that we played together, like pass the controller, like we're hanging out. So I'm like, let's try to do that. Let's switch it up a little bit. Went with Alan Wake Remastered to start. That he will not be continuing with me. I think I'll continue with it. I will say it starts pretty clunky and kind of rough. And I don't know if it's going to win me over, but I am interested in like the world that you're entering in, sort of the mystery of it all, and you're this asshole who's like, I'm a writer and like everyone loves me but I hate everyone, and I'm like, all right. And then I also felt kind of weird playing that with Isaiah, where I'm like, this isn't me, you know, I'm not like this, am I? Like, I'm not Alan Wake. But anyway, Alan Wake Remastered definitely feels like a game of an earlier era, which it is, it's just remastered, but I figured with 2 coming up, you know, I vibe with Remedy's Control. I do want to play Alan Wake 2. I would ideally like to play it having played Alan Wake 1. So I dipped into that. And that was kind of weirdly ended up being the theme of our session. Like after we spent, I don't know, maybe like 30 plus minutes with Alan Wake 1, the remaster. Then I jumped into Jedi Fallen Order, which is a game that I did start when it came out, but I started on like my, I had my base Xbox One at launch for that game. And not only did that game have a lot of performance issues at launch, maybe it still has a couple performance issues, it was on like pretty rough hardware. So I just felt like, you know what, this isn't, I don't think it's the time for me to have this experience. I feel like I'm not really going to get to enjoy it or like get a lot out of it because it runs kind of rough because I have such an old console running it.
Sure.
So now that I'm, you know, on PS5, you know, it's had the updates and things, I'm like, yeah, you know, I did genuinely enjoy the conceit of it, the kind of platforming action that was going on, the general adventure. Sure. Did it have a good map? No. But no. Like, whatever. Again, no, another game that's going to continue where I'm like, it'd be nice to like ideally have finished the game before like the next one comes out. So I think that's going to be our back and forth. Though now I'm like tied to the limitation of being back and forth, but it's also kind of a long-ish game.
Here we
like,
go.
It's
not, the traditional, you know? Janet, so like, thing. She hitched her wagon to somebody who's going to take her 4 years to beat this game.
I think he'll be quicker than that, or will give up, or be like, you know, I just finished it without me. I don't care. So I think it won't take for my whole life to play it. But I'm playing it. I'm enjoying it so far. You know, I still have not gotten past what I initially had done, which is just kind of that opening sequence where you have like that, you know, pseudo fake out boss fight. And then you're on like the first planet that you're on. You get like your first ability of like wall running. Like I haven't gotten past where I was before, but I'm getting pretty close. Because again, I didn't spend that much time with it because it did run rough on my very, very old Xbox at the time. So that's what I'm playing. That's what I'm getting into. Enjoying it so far. And we'll see how it goes.
A couple of things. One, man, I cannot wait for Jedi Survivor. Like every single time I see gameplay, I know this is Jedi Fallen Order that we're watching right now. Yeah. But every single time I see gameplay, I'm like, man, I can't 100%. Wait to get back into into this world. And the trailer they showed at Game Awards was the thing that like got me super excited about it, because every single thing they show, I feel like looks incredible. But then also, I somehow erased the fact that Saw Gerrera, aka Forrest Whitaker, was in Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah,
like that came up, and I was like, wait, when did he get
there?
They
keep trying to just put him in everything.
Yeah. I was gonna say he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. He was originally a Clone Wars character, and then they're like, let's make him a Rogue One character.
Because he's also
Forrest Whitaker player. Play him. Let's have him in, I think, Star Wars Rebels maybe for a little bit. Let's
Mandalorian.
Have
he was in there.
No, he wasn't in Mandalorian.
Was he not?
In Andor. He was in Andor for like a
scene
or two.
Yeah.
And then let's put him in Star Wars. Just enough. Enough of Saw Gerrera.
Are you You sure he wasn't in? Who was the guy that I'm thinking of in Mandalorian?
Thinking of Carl Weathers.
Mando. You're right.
You're a legend.
You're a legend, Mando.
Man, shout out Jedi Fallen Order.
Blessing, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Redacted that I can't talk about, but I talked about this before, that I booted up Gran Turismo 7 last night, and it's funny because I've been like waiting for it, right? Like, I've been excited to try it out ever since hearing Snowmike Mike talk about it, and I booted up Gran Turismo yesterday, and then I checked my email, I was like, it's not the update's not coming until later today, and so like last night I booted it up and I was like, all right, here we go. Gran Turismo 7. And then the servers are down. And I'm like, I just want to play this damn game, man. But I did get to like do like a demo race sort of thing let you do offline. Turns out Gran Turismo 7, always online game. I don't like that.
Huh.
I don't like, more people should talk about this. That's a joke because a lot of people do talk about this, but it affected me last night. I was like, why the fuck are these servers down and why can't I progress in this game?
If you or someone you love has been affected by Gran Turismo's always online mode, please call the number on your screen.
I played a little bit of it last night, but I didn't want to play much of it without actually getting the progression. And so this morning I got a head start on KFGD and then I had a free moment and then I booted it back up again. And thankfully the servers were online. And from the get-go, as soon as I clicked, it took me a second to realize that there wasn't like another mode that I had to go to. Like if you're wearing the headset, if you click a race, then it'll just shift you into VR.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which like is pretty cool, but also it took me a while before I realized that. I'm like,
figure it out. You're looking like, it's too intuitive.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the menus. I was like, how do I switch to the VR mode? And I just started a race and I was like, oh shit, I'm in VR. Goddamn, that game looks gorgeous in VR. You're wearing the headset and you look around and you're in your car, it is such a cool feeling. And when I was playing this morning, I was listening to a podcast, put on the podcast while driving, and it legitimately felt like I was driving listening to a podcast, which was really cool. And it makes me really want to use my roommate Michael. He has a driving setup in the living room where he has the driving wheel, has the pedals and all that stuff. I really want to try that out, playing in VR with the driving setup. And I wanted him to use it as well, because he is legitimately a Gran Turismo fan. You know, he was talking last year about how Gran Turismo 7 last year was one of his favorite games. I think his mind is going to be blown with it, because even for me, as somebody who's very now casually playing Gran Turismo 7, and I want to play a lot more of it now, my mind is blown playing it. Like, I want to keep driving. I want to play more. I want to actually get invested and progress through, because it's really fun. It's funny, when I play driving games, usually I shift immediately to the third person view. I do not like the cockpit view when I'm playing on a screen, because I just don't get immersed in that way, right? Sure. Like, I like seeing my car. I like seeing the designs. Being in cockpit view in VR totally changed that, where I'm like, it just works. Like, it clicks into place. I have this reflex to, like, usually it's either I click in R3 or like press down on R3 in order to, like, look behind to see what's behind me. I, like, try doing that. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I'm in VR. I can just either turn, or I look in my rear view mirrors, because my rear view mirrors actually work in that way. Yeah, this is, like, the most immersed I've been in, like, a game like this in VR, right, where it's trying to go for fidelity, real world style graphics and stuff, like not doing, like, you know, Beat Saber, Res Infinite. This is the most I've been into something that's going for a realistic style. But yeah, that's been my time with GT7 so far. I've not played that much, but yeah, for the little bit I've played, I want to play way more.
Awesome. Look at that. And you gave VR 2 out of 5.
I hated it. I couldn't stand it.
Just like Miles Morales.
My favorite was, you put out the tweet that we're going to stream VR today, and there are, like, people in there that's like, oh, Blessing must hate this. Oh, Blessing's not going to be able to stand it the whole time. I'm like, I said it was okay. I thought it was okay.
there's a VR contingency that's just a cult. And they're like, if you don't say, you fucking love it.
My favorite is, if PSVR 2 fails, it's on you for not backing it. And I was like, that's very...
I appreciate a lot. The amount of power that people have given us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's honestly too much. That's why my head's so big.
Honestly,
like, literally, next, like, I have a large head for my
next
body.
PlayStation console, we should just not support it and let the PS6 fail, you know?
Okay, don't say that.
Didn't you do that already with the Vita, Barrett?
I mean, that's true.
I have to make that,
true.
I mean, Nintendo
that seems
podcast
to be
family.
On the host of Podcast Beyond.
I did everything I could!
Yeah, all right, well.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a PS I Love You XOXO. Each and every week we come together to talk about all things PlayStation for your PlayStation podcast. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can get each and every episode of PS I Love You XOXO for... Well, you pay for it, but you get it ad-free. And then, of course, you can watch us record the show live when there's no embargo. Of course, you could get dozens and dozens of bonus shows each and every month. And you could get cool merch when we put them up for the physical tiered items. If you have no books tossed our way, it's no big deal. Use your creator code, KINDAFUNNY, when you're using Epic Games Store or playing those Epic games on your PlayStation. Of course, you could also get the show on youtube.com/KINDAFUNNYGAMES in podcast services around the globe each and every week. No matter where you get PS I Love You XOXO, please consider liking it, reviewing it, leaving a little rating, all that jazz. It helps us find the new audiences of PlayStation people looking for shows. Remember, of course, even though we recorded the show earlier this week, you can still see us react to the State of Play on Thursday on twitch.tv/kindoffunny.
I want you to know what happened.
YouTube.com/kindoffunny.
I remembered the person in chat that made fun of Janet being as small as A-Man. As I was drinking the LaCroix, made me laugh, spilled LaCroix on my shirt.
Well, that's what you get. Of course, then there'll be a games cast on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services around the globe that'll act as your post show for that showcase. Come watch me and Stella host the Dice Awards Thursday night. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.